On RN, this is The List and I'm Cassie McCullough. And time now for a pop culture 101, the story behind a story that's making headlines. And today, it's the apparent slow motion meltdown of the actor and artist Shia LaBeouf. Now, for some time, he's been linked to a series of bizarre events and actions and utterances. But this week, things took a more serious turn, with some concerned about his mental health and others accusing him of insulting sexual assault victims by falsely claiming he'd been raped during an art installation performance. Luke Buckmaster is film critic for Crikey's Daily Review and he also writes for The Guardian Australia. G'day, Luke.
Hi, Cassie. Pleased to be here.
Now, you've written about Shia LaBeouf this week. Firstly, what roles is he famous for?
Shia LaBeouf broke through to popular attention in a 2007 thriller called Disturbia, which was basically an unofficial remake of Hitchcock's Rear Window. And from then, I guess his most famous role has been in Michael Bay's Transformers movies. So he starred in a bunch of them, and they've gone absolutely gangbusters at the box office, very much established himself as a sort of modern action hero type character. Along those lines, also appeared in the Indiana Jones sequel called The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And then he sort of branched out into a more quote-unquote artistic career. And most recently, he was in a film called Fury, which is out at the moment, and earlier this year in a Lars von Trier film called Nymphomaniac.
Well, here he is in Fury, the Brad Pitt film about the crew of a Sherman tank entering Germany at the end of World War II. LaBeouf plays a Bible-reading gunner. Here he is meeting the new recruit, Norman.
Are you a praying man?
I go to church.
Are you saved?
I'm baptized.
Dude, that ain't what I asked.
That ain't what he asked.
Are you saved? Wait until you see.
See what?
What a man can do to another man.
So clearly a performance with a lot of integrity and, well, he's an actor with a lot of depth.
I think he's still very much in the process of finding that depth, and some of his sort of antics in the last 12 months have indicated that perhaps he's not quite equipped to really reflect that depth in many ways.
Well, let's get to his antics. You've dubbed it the Shia LaBeouf Show. For anyone who hasn't sort of been following what's been going on for him, give us a bit of background.
Okay, so the Shia LaBeouf Show, the first episode of the Shia LaBeouf Show started late last year when he was caught plagiarising, very blatantly plagiarising a short film. And the person he plagiarised was a comic book artist. And he apologised by organising a Sky writer to print the words, "I'm sorry." And then he seemed to embark on what could be construed as something of a meltdown. He took to Twitter, for example, in January and throughout February and tweeted 22 times in a row across various days in those months, quote, "I'm not famous anymore." And things escalated to a bizarre degree. He attended the premiere of Nymphomaniac with a paper bag on his head.
This is the world premiere of Nymphomaniac.
Indeed.
A paper bag with two holes cut in it so he could see, presumably, and the words, "I'm not famous anymore."
I'm not famous anymore. And also did that at the art installation that you mentioned before, which is where things took, I guess, a much more alarming turn.
Okay, so this was an artwork where he wore the paper bag and people came in and sat with him.
In this particular art installment, they came in and sat in front of him and just sort of stared at him. This was all part of his "I Am Sorry" art installation campaign or whatever the heck it was.
But just this week, some allegations have come to light about someone who visited him during this performance.
Yeah, he claimed during an interview that was published this week that he was sexually assaulted during this art installation. So that's obviously an immensely distressing turn of events.
Some woman had come in, whipped him around the ankles.
Yeah, whipped him several times, 12, 14 times. He didn't go into details of what she did next, but she walked out with smudged lipstick, and other people have more or less sort of corroborated the story or that there was an incident to corroborate. And he says afterwards his girlfriend came in, and because he'd taken a vow of silence, he wasn't even talking, they just sort of sat and looked at each other. Totally bizarre.
There's been two kind of responses to this news this week. One is how awful, how terrible. And then another one led by Piers Morgan, the British journalist, saying that he doesn't believe him and that it's an insult to assault victims, that it's a kind of exploitative stunt. What do you make of it?
I think we should all take that immensely seriously. And I think he's potentially in a situation in that art installation in which he perhaps could have been taken advantage of. It's something that I find is far more troubling than anything else in the Shia LaBeouf show.
Yes, absolutely. There's no question that his claims should be taken with the greatest seriousness. But at the same time, you've written that the Shia LaBeouf show is an example of, quote, a new transmedia storytelling. What do you mean by that?
So transmedia storytelling is a buzzword at the moment in the landscape of digital marketing and social media. And what it basically means is that a singular story is told across multiple platforms, often sequentially, and often with content that is very specific to the format in which it's being distributed. So we're now in a really interesting age, and this partly comes from the proliferation of social media, it partly comes from the advance of smartphones and tablets and mobile devices, where celebrity culture can hit you not just in the billboard you're looking at, not just on the TV screen you're watching or the movie that you're going inside. It can also literally kind of appear in your pocket, and it can also come on the smartwatch that you're thinking of buying. And celebrities are now empowered with mediums like Twitter and Facebook and self-publishing platforms to disseminate their messages to an incredibly wide audience. And that, for me, brings up some really interesting questions around, A, whether they're really equipped to do that and what happens when they're not, and B, what that means to the traditional business model of entertainment and entertainment journalism. It seems to be more and more driven by celebrities who are still, on the other hand, beholden to some extent to the powers that be.
So you're saying that perhaps what Shia LaBeouf's been doing and maybe not succeeding at, or maybe he has, is telling a kind of meta-narrative on different platforms and at the same time making a comment deconstructing the idea of celebrity.
Look, I wouldn't want to give him too much credit for having thought all this stuff out in a really intelligent way, because everything suggests that it's fairly ad hoc and it's fairly experimental, but it is really interesting from a storytelling perspective. You can follow Shia LaBeouf's latest antics on Twitter. You can look at it on your smartphone. You can go to his art installations and sit down and look at this guy with the sack on his face. You can watch YouTube and see the most recent videos that he's starred in. You can check out the news stories. You can go to see his movies. You can, at one point in time, you'll be able to look up literally and see words he's written in the sky. I don't think there's been any point in history where we've actually seen celebrity culture in such an arguably pernicious way, or at least in such a ubiquitous way. I think it's quite fascinating.
And you compare what LaBeouf's doing to the mockumentary that Joaquin Phoenix and Casey Affleck made in 2010 called I'm Still Here. And describe that for people who haven't seen it. It's starting with the David Letterman appearance.
Yes, indeed. His very famous performance on, well, I say performance in hindsight because we now know it was a performance, but he appeared in the David Letterman show 5 years ago, looking very bedraggled, looking very kind of shaggy with massively long hair, peering out of dark shades, was answering all these questions from Letterman with this very standoffish, very hostile, very awkward demeanor. People watched it and they went, what on earth is this? And who are you? Letterman, I think, ended the interview saying something very close to, well, next time we hope to have you here, Joaquin. But the difference there, I mean, that was a really interesting point, because people were saying, well, is this guy just breaking down in front of our eyes? Is he doing the opposite of what celebrity culture generally entails, which is smiling for the camera and in pleasing the audience? Now, we subsequently learned that it was all a ruse. Phoenix, I think, is one of the best actors working today. Mm. And his performance in that film is exquisitely weird and perhaps underappreciated because the premise was a hoax. But, you know, that had a premiere, that had reviews, that was known and revealed to be something of a ruse. The Shia LaBeouf show, which I've sort of suggested is a sequel of sorts, is like some sequels, and it takes it to the next level. Unfortunately, I just don't see this ending with a, ha-ha, tricked you, the show's over, now you can buy the DVD.
Well, you know, a statement on the impact of celebrity culture or a train wreck or both, we may never really know. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
Luke Buckmaster is resident film critic for Crikey's Daily Review, and he also writes for The Guardian Australia.
Now, when will we see the new hip-hop career? When will we see that take off? Because we want to be there.
Well, I'd love to come on the show and perform.
Yeah.
When it's on.
But... You know, that seems unlikely. I'm just kidding. Well, we'll certainly keep you in our Rolodex. And Joaquin, I'm sorry you couldn't be here tonight.
He's funny. He's a funny dude.